not be anxious about anything. In other words, if you right now are living your life with anxiety, you are not living your life the way that God designed you to live your life.
This is Straight Talk.
Welcome back to Straight Talk Radio. My name is Joshua Halleck. I'm your host, and I'm here with senior pastor and author at New Life Community Church, Pastor Mark Jobe. Pastor Mark, thank you for this new message, How to Stop Worrying About Money. Oh, there's so many of us who are tuning in at the edge of our seat, because that's exactly what we're doing right now, is worrying. In fact, I heard it said before, worry is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but it doesn't get you anywhere. And yet, we still find ourselves stuck. How is God's Word going to help us in today's message?
That's right, Joshua. That rocking chair, you keep rocking, but it's not doing anything good. You know, Joshua, they've done studies. Researchers tell us that 40% of the things that we worry about will never happen. 30% are in the past and can't be changed. 12% are about criticism by others and mostly untrue. And really only 8% about what we worry about is really legitimate. Most of our worry, or a lot of our worry, revolves around money. And I believe that if you are here today listening to my voice and that you are worrying about money, that God wants to break that mentality. In other words, I believe that your stress about money is not where God wants you to be. You're not living in the center of the mentality that God wants you to have, or in the center of God's will. So this passage is a strong preparation to break that grip of worry, especially as it relates to money.
Thank you for that. We're in Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 through 33, how to stop worrying about money.
You know, we started this year with 21 days of fasting and prayer. What a powerful time that was, and a stretching time that was. But I look at fasting a little bit like I look at what happens when someone bothers a hornet's nest. Because fasting is poking at the hornet's nest and stirring things up in the spiritual realm. My son Josiah this summer worked at a job in which he was stripping fire hydrants and then painting them with a sandblaster. And he happened to go to one fire hydrant and was sandblasting the fire hydrant and realized that he suddenly was in a swarm of yellow hornets. Because as long there was a nest right under the fire hydrant, and as long as the nest wasn't bothered, the hornets were okay. But once the nest was bothered, then the hornets went crazy. And I'm going to tell you, he moved faster than he had moved in a long time to get out of, to run from those hornets. But here's the thing about the hornet's nest. As long as you don't bother the hornets, they don't bother you. But you start messing with the hornets, and then now they want to mess with you. I believe that in the spiritual realm, fasting and prayer is messing with the hornet's nest. Because what we do in fasting and prayer is we say, God, we do not want to stay the same. We do not want to let the enemy have territory that doesn't belong to him. We want to move the enemy out, and the enemy starts getting mad when we start moving him out of places that when we want God in. Amen? I may be preaching to myself today, but I'm getting something out of it. So we mess with the hornet's nest and we say, this is God's territory, and we're going to move in and move out the enemy from God's territory. And the enemy gets mad when we start moving in and bringing the kingdom of God into spaces that the enemy wants to conquer. And so some of you, as a result of your fasting and prayer time, you may be experiencing some spiritual battles that have accelerated in your life. And you may have thought, well, I thought after fasting and prayer, it was all going to be nice and easy. No, no, no. You just poked the hornet's nest with fasting and prayer. You just said, get out of here, enemy, because I'm taking that territory. And so you stirred up some controversy in your life. So if you're experiencing a battle right now, it may be because in fasting and prayer, you stirred up that battle. So don't shy away from that battle. Step into it and say, yeah, this is going to be God's territory in Jesus' name. So we started a series of messages entitled Provision last week, seeing the God that you can trust. Last week I talked to you about how to break money's control on your life. This week I'm talking to you about how to stop worrying about money. And next week I'm going to talk to you about how to make money follow you. Now in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus talks about three habits. He talks about when you pray, when you fast, and when you give. Praying, fasting, and giving are a three-chord strand that are tied together that have a powerful influence when we learn to master those habits and begin to practice those habits. And so, as we talk about this topic of finances, and by the way, I told you last week, I determined years ago when I first started pastoring, I would not talk about finances and financial management in the church because I was nervous about it. And I thought, well, people are going to judge and people are going to say, oh, why is the church talking about money? And then I soon realized that so many people struggle with money management, that so many marriages are stressed out over finances, that so many people are swimming in debt that they can barely survive, that to not speak about finances is to do a huge disservice to the people of God and to the work of the kingdom of God. And so I've determined that every year I will do at least a short series in finances because the Bible has so much to say about the power of finances and how to manage our finances God's way. I've had so many of you come up to me, by the way, after service in previous years and even this year, just starting this, saying, thank you, Pastor, for speaking about finances, and thank you for teaching us some of the principles about getting our finances under control, because we really, really need to hear about this. So thank you for your words of encouragement. Today I want to talk to you about how to stop worrying about money. Some of you are happy you came today just by hearing that title. You're like, yeah. Do you realize that worry and anxiety have reached epic proportions in our country? When I first started pastoring, it seems like I dealt with a lot less people that were worried and anxious than I deal with now. Over the last decade, it seems like the people that are struggling with panic attacks, that have to use medication to tranquilize themselves, that this is just accelerated, that it's significantly increased over the last few years, that we live in a highly stressed society, and one of the topics that people are most stressed about is finances, money, the lack of it, how to manage it, how to spend it, how to save it. It becomes a huge topic of conversation and a huge topic of stress. In fact, they tell us that the number one cause for divorce in this country is stress and fighting over the management of finances in marriage. Number one cause for divorce in this country. And so as I think about worry and stress, I did a little bit of research and I discovered that the average person, their anxiety focuses 40% on things that will never happen. 40% of our worry is directed at things never going to happen. That getting struck by lightning. Most of you, never going to happen. That earthquake that you think would just shake Chicago, most of you, never going to happen. 40%. And I know what some of you are thinking. Yeah, but what about that 60%? Well, 30% of things that we worry about are about the past that cannot be changed. So 40% of the worry is directed towards things that are never going to happen. 30% of what people worry about is about the past. And the past, you can do nothing about your past. The past has happened. It's over. You can't change it. You can't rewrite it. You can't alter it. It's done. So there's a good 70% of the things that we worry about that really is wasted energy. 12% of the things that we worry about is about criticism by others that's mainly untrue. So 12% of what we worry about is what we heard a cousin of a cousin who is friend of another cousin say to a person that got back to us that really wasn't true, that really bothers us because we're really concerned about what people that we don't like are saying behind our back, and we never see them, but we're really bothered by it. Come on, I'm talking to some of you now. Some of your husbands have listened to hours of you complaining about a statement that was said by a cousin of a cousin. And they say to you, when's the last time you say, well, that was 5 years ago, but that's not the point. The point is they're talking about me, and I saw a comment on Facebook, and they said this, and I think they really meant it to be about me. And I mean, it's just absorbed you. You're bent out of shape over some comment on Facebook that you knew was directed towards you. So, and then 10% is about health, which only gets worse with stress, by the way. So we worry about things that may happen to our health, and really our worry only exasperates our health issues. And then 8%, yes, 8%. Is about real problems that will be faced. So really, about all the energy that you spend in worrying, only 8% is about real problems that you face. The great majority of your worry has no foundation, is a waste of energy, is a waste of your time, and by the way, brings about no positive solutions, but yet it drains a lot of strength and energy from your being.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled, How to Stop Worrying About Money. It's from Pastor Mark's brand new series called Provision, Seeing the God We Can Trust. After the broadcast, I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of this message as well as the entire series and give you information regarding Pastor Mark's ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of Matthew, chapter 6, verses 25 through 33. Tonight's Straight Talk is called, How to Stop Worrying About Money.
Matthew, chapter 6, is talking about this topic of money, and Jesus is addressing a crowd, and he specifically talks about the topic of being worried about finances. And so I want to turn your attention there. The key verse in this passage of scripture is Matthew chapter 6:33 that says, but seek ye first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you as well. Before I read this passage, let me also just simply state that the mentality that Jesus is addressing in this passage has to deal with the mentality that I would call a scarcity mentality. I believe that most of us in this land approach finances with a scarcity mentality versus an abundance mentality. And a scarcity mentality simply has the mindset that there's not enough to go around. And that if someone else has more, it means that their more is leaving less for me. So therefore, if I have a scarcity mentality, it really bothers me when someone else prospers because their prosperity means my demise. I compare a lot. I'm jealous a lot. I don't like when other people get ahead because I have a scarcity mentality. Think about it for a second. Many of us here were brought up with a scarcity mentality, and it's affect the way that we see finances and material possessions overall. If you were brought up in a home where scarcity mentality was perpetuated, then think about it. When your mother made or brought a pastry home, and there were three children, and she carefully divided up that pastry among the three children with a knife, what is it that if you had a scarcity mentality, what is it that you look at that pastry and say? First of all, you look, what's the biggest piece? And if your brother or sister gets the bigger piece before you, you say what? How come their piece is bigger than mine? This isn't fair. They got a bigger piece than I have. I want a piece that's bigger. How come they got that? Because a scarcity mentality tells you there's not enough to go around. And if someone else gets a bigger piece, that means that your piece is smaller. So we are raised with statements like money doesn't grow on trees. What do you think? We're made out of money. There's not enough. We need to watch it. And oftentimes we grow up with a scarcity mentality. Society at large has a scarcity mentality. And therefore, you find it difficult to celebrate the prosperity of other people, even if it's totally unrelated to your field. If you have a sibling that prospers, you're kind of angry that they're prospering and you're not, because in the back of your mind, a scarcity mentality says their prosperity means that there's less for me. Now, an abundance mentality is different. Because an abundance mentality, in essence, says it's an approach to the world and a belief that there is enough for everybody, and that God has designed a world where there's more than enough to go around, and that God is the source of all our goodness and the source of all things, and this sovereign God never runs out because he is sovereign and he is God and he is our God. So therefore, we can celebrate in the prosperity of others. That's an abundance mentality. So Jesus is addressing worry over finances, and he begins in verse 25 and he says, therefore, I tell you. Now, anytime you see the word therefore in the Bible, you have to ask yourself, what is it? Therefore. It's a preposition that basically joins two lines of thoughts together and says, I'm building this thought on the previous thought. So Jesus has just told them that they should not put all their treasures in what is temporary, but they need to be storing up eternal treasures. He has also told them that money should not be their master, but that God should be the master over their money. And so now he says, therefore, I tell you, these are the words of Jesus, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and your body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. Do they not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them? Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? That's a rhetorical question, and the answer is no. So, in essence, what Jesus is saying in this passage, if you're taking notes, jot this down. Number one, you can shut down worry because God has affirmed your value. Jesus starts out by saying, I don't want you to worry about material possessions or finances or money. I don't want you to worry about it. Why? Well, because life is made up more than what you wear or what you eat. And have you seen the birds of the sky? in essence, if your Father in heaven can clothe them, he can also take care of you. And he says, are you not much more valuable than they? In essence, what Jesus is saying is your Father in heaven values you. So if he values you, you don't have to worry about life because you can trust someone who is sovereign and who you can trust in everything of life. You can trust that he values the importance of your life. That's huge. He says, look at the birds. I know you look around Chicago, you see a pigeon. I mean, you go downtown Chicago, you see a pigeon. They're kind of like the rats of the air, right? I was trying to figure out what they're looking at. You know, they have a certain head movement because I'm told that pigeons can't focus while in motion. So they can only focus when they're stopped. So, you know, they'll go like this, then move and focus. And, you know, I look at them and I don't think they're majestic birds. You look at a pigeon and they're not like the soaring eagle. They're not like the beautiful, colorful birds you see in the jungle. They're just kind of like city rats with wings. Aren't they? Just kind of nasty. And yet, the God of the universe seems to care about the provision of those pigeons. And what Jesus is saying is that, are you not more valuable than the birds of the air? And the God that provides for them looks at you as sons and daughters. And ultimately, God is saying, I don't want you to worry or have anxiety about physical things. I want you to trust God in the process of material things. This is really, really important. Now, just a couple things I want you to understand about worry, because this is Mayo Clinic, that is one of the leading research clinics in the nation, where they take the difficult diseases that other medical institutions can't seem to figure out. Mayo Clinic has said that it claims that 80 to 85% of total caseloads are due directly to worry and anxiety. Many experts say that coping with stress is the number one health priority of our day. Did you get that? That Mayo Clinic that deals with all these rare diseases is telling us that 80 to 85% of their caseloads that they see have a direct root in the fact that people are worrying about life. And oftentimes their worry is stress over finances. Now, what it's telling us is that there are many, many people that right now have lost their joy, that are struggling physically, that have high blood pressure, that have physical diseases because they've allowed worry about life to get a hold of them. We know from medical science that there's a close tie from worry to heart trouble, to blood pressure problems, to ulcers, to thyroid malfunction, to migraine headaches, a host of stomach disorders, among other things. 25 million Americans have high blood pressure due to stress and anxiety. 1 million more develop high blood pressure each year. 8 million have stomach ulcers. Every week, 112 million people take medication for stress-related symptoms. There is an epidemic in our nation over stress and anxiety, over worry about life. And yet, the Bible says, listen to me well, if you are a follower of God through his son, Jesus Christ, the Bible says that worry is not your mode of operation. In fact, Jesus says, don't worry. The Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 through 7 says this, do not be anxious about anything. In other words, if you right now are living your life with anxiety, you are not living your life the way that God designed you to live your life.
You've been listening to Pastor Mark Jobe's Straight Talk series called Provision, Seeing the God We Can Trust. Tonight was the first half of his message called How to Stop Worrying About Money. Join us again tomorrow for the second half. As I mentioned earlier, if you'd like to have a copy of this message, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will also find other helpful tools to help you in your walk with God. If you'd prefer to have a CD of the message, just contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. CDs are only $5 plus shipping, and Pastor Mark's book, called Unstuck, is also available for just $10 plus shipping. If you're looking for a home church, we invite you to check out one of our 25 New Life locations in and around Chicagoland. Just log on to newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. We would love to meet you. Well, that's it for Pastor Mark, our Straight Talk team, and myself. Thanks again for listening. Have a great night, and please do join us again tomorrow for the second half of the message called How to Stop Worrying About Money. God bless.